Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford, whose calling in life is to stir you up to hunt for treasure in God's Word, to go that extra mile, and to not be a lazy Christian.
Well, what a perfect intro for tonight's study. Shalom to everyone, and may you all receive an even greater hunger for more of Jesus, because that's what our lives are all about.
More Jesus, more Word.
Let's ask for God's favor tonight.
Abba, Father, our El Shaddai, we humble ourselves before you as we pray for our unbelieving loved ones and for the Holy Spirit to make them aware by not serving you, they are serving Satan, whose main goal is to keep them away from knowing Yeshua, their only Savior. We ask for your blessing on tonight's program, but also upon the Christian sleepwalkers who practice simplicity while waiting your return. Lord, speak to their hearts not to compromise, and restore unto them the joy of their salvation. We lift up to you these recent prayer requests, and may many new salvations spring forth as the flowers in its season. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to delve right into tonight's study because there is much to cover and a lot to share, especially about the lazy church that is certainly prevalent today.
Yeah, scripture calls them lukewarm.
And we'll be addressing that in a moment. But first, let's do a quick rundown of the six other churches of Revelation 2 and 3. The first three chronological churches, prophetically speaking, are now past, with Pergamos finishing around the year 606 A.D., but each church has characteristics that can apply to anyone personally today.
Yeah, especially the first church, Ephesus, who lost their passion.
Mm-hmm, whose name means darling. We're looking at the beginning church age from Christ's death in 32 A.D. to about 100 A.D. And just like Paul with his many challenges, the churches do as well. Ephesus started out full of zeal and held on to tradition, but lost that hunger to grow closer. And as a personal application, we must not let that happen.
Smyrna.
Ah, yes, meaning myrrh, which is the spice used for embalming. And so this name is very fitting for the millions of martyrs during the years of 100 to 312 A.D., the Christians were highly persecuted due to its surrounding paganistic society. Therefore, Jesus just told them to remain faithful to the end, to overcome, and they would not be hurt by the second death. Now, we have often looked at the definition of to overcome from 1 John 5, and it's simply a true believer, never to deny him no matter what the consequences.
To stay true in all persecutions.
We personally can learn from this church as we too must die to our earthly desires. And Paul said to crucify our flesh in Galatians 5. And Paul also said that he dies daily, 1 Corinthians 15. And 2 Corinthians 12 is great too. As Paul says, he takes pleasure in his infirmities.
Wow. We should often read that chapter, huh?
Yeah. And also an early church father, Tertullian, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. So just chew on that for a bit. And the third church age was Pergamos.
Meaning mixed marriage.
And that would be from the years 312 to 606 A.D. There was the capital of Asia Minor, a precursor of the Dark Ages, where paganism, because of Emperor Constantine, got its foot in the door when he commanded the Roman army to cease its persecution of Christians.
A good thing.
But in return, invigorated pagan worship. So now the church was spiritually compromised and embraced, or what we say, married the world.
Hence the meaning of the name Pergamos.
Also the precursor of the full doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the one world religion of the next church, Thyatira, where it flourished by ruling over the people.
And is returning, according to Revelation 17 and 18.
Yes. There'll only be one religious institution when we leave. So Thyatira began around 606 A.D. and is still here.
And the name means continual sacrifice.
And also quite appropriate, for now the Mass is instituted representing the denial of the completed work of Jesus Christ by sacrificing him at every Mass called transubstantiation. And this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia, number 1375. It reads,
it is by the conversion of the bread and wine into Christ's body and blood that Christ becomes present in this sacrament.
It's pure heresy.
Communion is in memorial of his death.
And many other heresies. But the leaders want to have more power over the little folk and thereby ruling over the people, implying, oh, look what we can do and you can't because we're divinely ordained. So this was the only church till the Protestant Reformation split in 1517 and continues today. Now the first three are prophetically gone. And we read now in the letter to Thyatira for the first time has terrible judgments pronounced to them. To the first three churches, he revealed himself in attributes that would stimulate faith and call for dependent trust.
But now we see judgment with flaming eyes.
And today, verifying we're near the end, we see the ecumenical movement is pushing hard, and that's towards the One World Church again, saying, you can join even if you are an atheist, because if you are a good person, you have God in your heart. And being gay is okay, because we are all children of God.
Which is totally taken out of context.
When you think about it, it's remarkable to see, because, you know, when I was younger, it was set in stone that only the Catholic Church could save you. But now they say all religions can unite, even atheists and sodomites, if they are good people. So according to their low standards, all can join together and all go to heaven.
Under the Pope as the head leader.
And to possibly rule over the king as they once did. Some Catholics are speaking out, but for the most part, there is little outcry about this.
Which proves most don't understand their Bible.
But thank God, the few that do are leaving and joining the Church of Philadelphia, the born-again church.
Yes, the breakaway church from Sardis.
And we've said this often. If you think we're picking on the Catholic Church, let me say again that the church at Sardis, which represents Protestantism, even though they broke away,
which was a very good thing,
they have continuing problems also. At least Jesus did commend Thyatira for their good works, but here he gives Sardis no commendation.
The church at Sardis, its name means remnant.
Because a remnant did protest and followed Martin Luther in 1517 for an all-grace theology. And I'm so glad they did. But sadly, it was dead orthodoxy. No outward acknowledgement of the Spirit and not looking for Jesus to return. And mostly, as a whole, still don't. Or they say, well, not in my lifetime.
Yeah, it was organized Protestantism. How did I do?
Protestantism.
Protestantism, okay.
Yes, with many disagreements. Mostly because wolves and sheep's clothing were infiltrating to purposely cause division.
Well, that's the devil's M.O.
Hence, so many denominations. But remember, for a long time, the Bible was not too readily available, except maybe in Latin, until finally it became more accessible by the 18th century. Then we see another true and very necessary split away from Sardis, this time based solely on Scripture.
Philadelphia.
Right. This was the Holy Spirit revival time. Many preachers and prophets coming to America and birthed the missionaries who were sent out by Jesus in their hearts who held the key of David.
Meaning key of authority.
Who opens and no one shuts.
And opened he has done.
Yeah, to countries all over the world, even China, Japan, Korea, Africa, Russia, all done by our church at Philadelphia. And around 1739, more had come, like Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, William Carey, and so many others. And around this time, we saw the Industrial Revolution, the steam engine, the Declaration of Independence of 1776, the American Revolution, and so much more, which continued. But since 1948, it has been explosive.
Space travel, robots, who can answer you?
But the digital banking will allow the tracking needed for the Antichrist. It's so close. I can taste it.
Okay, so we talked about all these churches, and Laodicea is next. But we want to remind you that you can easily re-listen to any of these studies on our webpage. And if you have questions or comments, our email is Sheila@ChopraMinistries.net, or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
And by the way, for you very serious students, we have a detailed 11x17 paper chart that outlines each of the seven churches in Revelation. So you can see the entire scope and the differences between these churches. And get this. This chart also shows how they match Paul's letters to seven different groups of believers and also matches the parables of Matthew 13.
And it's all on one sheet.
It's pretty remarkable, the whole study. Anyway, just write to us to request one at P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And please include any offering to cover the postage and handling.
Okay, the fine...
What church is next, honey?
Laodicea, meaning rule by the people.
Right. Not over them, as in Thyatira.
Right.
Prophetically speaking, perhaps it began to bloom around the 1950s or 60s with the hippie movement, but sadly has really grown today. So they didn't want to be dictated to from its leaders. They want to make their own rules and judgments, even apart from Sola Scriptura. Locally, it was situated in the area of Turkey and was hit with a huge earthquake. They have many of those. In 60 AD, causing much destruction, but rebuilt even greater. Unfortunately, it was hit again around 600 AD, and its ruins have been discovered, authenticating its existence. The city was named after the wife of Antiochus II, whose name was Laodicea.
Her name means gossip.
Also fitting for this end-time church age. Lots of gossipers today. Okay, let's read chapter 3, beginning in verse 14.
And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Meaning Jesus is the chief creator of all things.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Archaeology shows Laodicea had an aqueduct that probably carried water from the hot mineral springs some 5 miles away, which would have become tepid before entering the city, and apparently the water was hard, though drinkable. The imagery of the Laodicean aqueduct suggests that both hot for soaking or cold water on a hot day is refreshing. So both are useful, whereas lukewarm water is almost useless. As well, bacteria does grow in lukewarm water, which is still another analogy.
But the hot part is easily described.
Of course, we should all be on fire for the Lord. Mm-hmm. As far as the cold, most often when someone is cold-hearted, they usually know it and therefore could more easily be witnessed to. It's sometimes easier to witness to a cold-hearted gang member or prisoner who knows they need a forgiving Savior. That's easier than the lady next door to who she thinks is just fine. When God says he will vomit you out of his mouth, he's not talking about losing one's salvation, but rather talking to lukewarm Christians that are useless to him for his services due to their laziness. Okay, verse 17.
Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich.
Spiritually rich, of course.
And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see.
Laodicea had a great medical school, famous for its eye salve. A very famous ophthalmologist practiced medicine there. So how fitting is that for Jesus to write to them using that analogy? And especially appropriate in today's world with so many eyes being blurred to the real truth. Laodicea was a city of great wealth, sort of a Las Vegas vacation town. The main industry was financial banking and clothing, especially of expensive black wool. Also fitting, as Jesus talks about their nakedness. And money was extremely important to them. And today, we see greed at its finest. Even selling out one's own country, but saying they are Christian. Verse 19.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door
of your heart
and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
And we see here that Jesus says he's on the outside knocking to get in and says nothing good about them. No commendations. In fact, he tells them how to get saved, because obviously most weren't. But some were saved, or this church couldn't be included with the others. But they were more complacent to others' sins, and some only had a head knowledge. So, not truly born again of the heart for some. Honey, let's look at Matthew 7, verse 21.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father.
So let's lean on that for a moment. What is the will of the Father? Well, Scripture says in John 6 to look unto the Son and follow him by being his disciple and to make other disciples, which, by the way, were his departing words at his ascension, Matthew 28.
So, then who is a disciple?
Well, the answer is also by John in chapter 8, verse 31.
If you abide in my word, you are my disciple.
So, what does abide mean?
Oh, do tell.
The Greek word is, number 3306, meno, and it means to continue or to stay, remain, or to dwell. The Laodiceans as a whole weren't doing that. And today, sadly, most who say they are Christians are not saturating themselves in his word either. Continue in Matthew 7, verse 22.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Now, there's two definitions for lawlessness. You know that a synonym for the law is Torah. So essentially, this can mean Biblelessness, you know, not reading God's word. It also means crime. But then again, criminals don't read the Bible. So it all boils down to not being saved and therefore, obviously, not reading the scriptures. But no worry, says the most famous religious leader in the world. Everybody goes to heaven as long as you're a good person.
And whose standard do they measure that by?
Well, we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think back to a lesson taught by the evangelist Ray Comfort. Remember him?
Yeah, called Hell's Best Kept Secret.
Yeah. He did street evangelism and asked people if they thought they were going to heaven. And most said yes because they were a good person. So then he goes through the Ten Commandments. And they had broken most all of them. You know, I still use that. And it does make some at least think about the fact they indeed are sinners and need a Savior.
The Bible does say good works won't save you.
Right. And in fact, Isaiah 64:6 says, your good works are as filthy rags.
Referring to the unrighteous.
Mm-hmm. Now, James does clarify that good works is the evidence of your faith. But the faith of your salvation must be first. Then your works will be counted towards your rewards after our resurrection. So, to wrap this up, Laodicea made up their own rules to live by. Many refuse to believe sex before marriage is a sin, and homosexuality is okay, transgenderism is okay, because it's not their fault. This last day's church has it all, needs nothing, and is noted for its pleasures. Oh, they'll write down Christian on an application, but are extremely worldly. Just ask them. Just when you next time you're witnessing to someone, say, well, what kind of Christian are you? And on a scale of 1 to 10 being the hottest. You know, from my experience, most will say a 5 or a 6. Well, when they do, you be ready and you read to them Revelation 3:16, because they are lukewarm. And it says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not words that I'd like to hear from God. So please try this on someone this week. And it's time to ask you, of course, is Yeshua Lord over your life? Will you escape the awful tribulation coming? Luke 21 says you can with just a meaningful prayer. Repent now and invite him inside your heart. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many ways. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.